House Finance in order. It's 2:09, or actually 2:13 p.m., 10th of April, 2012. Reconvening to take up two pieces, two bills, House Bill 286, and continue on House Bill 140 previously scheduled. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I move the CS for House Bill number 286, Finance, 27-GH2769/I, dated 4/10/2012, before the committee.
Is there any objection? I'll object just so Mr. Armstrong can describe the changes. The numbers remain the same. The fiscal notes would remain the same. Is that correct assertion, Mr. Armstrong?
You're correct, sir.
You're correct. Thank you, Ed.
James Armstrong, staff of the House Finance Committee. There's four changes. In Section 4, there used to be a Haynes maintenance station for replacement for $3 million. That went away.
A little less.
That was removed from the legislation.
Yeah.
The $3 million was added to Section 3, page 2. Line 18, the Haynes Borough Boat Harbor upgrades is now $15 million. And two technical but meaningful changes on page 3, lines 15 and 16, those projects now reflect construction. They were listed as reconstruction. So those are the four changes. Everything else stayed the same. The numbers switched a little bit between Commerce and DOT by $3 million, but the overall package is still the same. It reflects accurately with the project listings and the other body's version of the capital budget.
As we last saw it. I'll remove my objection. Any comments, any discussion? Probably been some of the better read four pages. No. Madam Vice Chair, we did go over the fiscal note in detail. We can go over it again.
Mr. Chairman, we did talk about the fiscal note. It affects the Department of Revenue. It's allocated to the Treasury. It's OMB component number 121. It's dated 4/6/2012. There is expenditures in FY13 of $1,275,000. FY14, $12,375,000. FY15, $23,600,000, thank you, Representative Wilson. 24, FY16, $24,904,700. FY17, $36,392,000. FY18, $36,392,000.
I don't see any amendments.
Chairman, I move from committee the CS for House Bill number 286, Finance, 27-GH2769/I, with attached fiscal note and individual committee recommendations.
Hearing no objections, we'll take a brief at ease. Come back to order. It's 2:19 p.m. It's still the 10th of April. We have our last bill today is Senate Bill 140. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I move before the committee the CS for Senate Bill number 140, Judiciary 27-LS1032-I.
Is there any objection? Hearing none. And I meant to note that we have full attendance of the committee membership and a quorum to business. That was. But welcome, Ms. Marsegan.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is.
Where's the senator?
Pardon me?
Where's the senator?
Senator Kevin Myers sends his regrets that he can't be sitting here to enjoy this wonderful view from the seat. Unfortunately, he was unavoidably detained.
I keep looking at that.
You want to know what's more important than his bill in our committee? Is that what you're asking?
That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, okay. There's probably a lot of things. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the House Finance Committee. Thank you for hearing this bill today. For the record, my name is Christine Marsegan. I am the staffer to Senator Kevin Meyer. I'm here to present Senate Bill 140 for consideration, which would classify certain synthetic cathinones as a controlled substance. This drug has been marketed as, quote-unquote, bath salts and plant food, but they are neither bath salts nor plant food. They are basically a new type of drug that is a type of synthetic cocaine that people are using as a substitute for meth and ecstasy. What troubles the sponsor about this particular drug is that this drug has really been marketed towards youth with names such as Vanilla Sky, Ivory Snow, Bliss, Purple Wave, and Meow Meow. Yeah, gotta get the Meow Meow in there. It's really felt that these new drugs out on the market are really kind of being pushed on young people. According to the Drug Enforcement Administration, these drugs are used as this alternative to cocaine and amphetamines and methamphetamines. People who use this drug can experience palpitations, seizures, vomiting, paranoia, blurred vision, agitation, and sometimes death. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration added these drugs to Schedule 1. The Anchorage municipality passed an ordinance in November prohibiting this drug. That copy of that should be in your packet. The Metsu Bureau also adopted a resolution in February supporting Senate Bill 140, and the U.S. military has also banned use of this drug, particular drug.
The Metsu Bureau, they don't have health powers or police powers. Do they have a position why they made that?
My understanding, sir, is that I'd gotten a call, and they basically wanted a copy of the bill because they felt that this was a problem in that area.
I'm glad they did. I just don't want them expanding something I didn't know about. Please, go ahead.
The intent of this legislation is to keep dangerous, unregulated drugs out of the hands of children and give public safety the tools it needs to punish those who poison young people by passing this bill. We do have, I believe, a few experts online. Warren Dim from the Crime Lab is online. I don't know if we were able to get Dr. Cooper, who is the deputy state epidemiologist, back online. However, I do have his testimony from a previous committee in the other body if you have any questions. Thank you very much again for your time, and if I can answer any of your questions or defer your questions to other experts that are here, I'm happy to do so. Thank you.
Other experts. All right. She's not flinching. I'm sorry. We'll go straight into public testimony, and that may answer some of our questions. So we'll ask Mr. Dim to join us.
This is Mr. Dim.
Mr. Dim, is this a good bill? And how does your department interact to your agency?
Mr. Chairman, we do support the bill.
Okay. I'm going to represent Gareth.
Mr. Dim, how do we... I guess when we're trying to rank the dangerousness of this drug to determine what to charge crimes under this drug as, can you help us determine that? Can you relate it to another drug that we have on the books?
And is it going to be more a bigger penalty than texting?
Yeah.
Through the chair, Representative Garrow, when we look at the substituted cathinones, when I teach law enforcement about them, my explanation is these are methamphetamine and ecstasy is what they most resemble. They are simply modifications to the left or the right side of the drug molecule with appendages put on, but at their core they are methamphetamine and ecstasy.
Okay, so worse than texting.
Probably.
How much worse?
Through the chair, Mr. Chairman, I'll leave that for you all to decide.
We're having a little fun. That's a good spirit. Any other questions for Mr. Dim?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Guttenberg.
And who is he representing?
He is with the Department of Public Safety, the Alaska State Crime Lab. Okay. Laboratories.
Another question, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Guttenberg.
So, Jim, we've done other legislation like this on either side of what cocaine or other things, and it seems like we're constantly chasing the name for the chemical name. And somebody comes in and changes some chemical and makes it a different product, and we're constantly coming back with legislation to cover that ever increasing to cover these kind of drugs. Is there some way that there's a way of dealing with this as a larger class of drugs instead of each individual case?
Through the chair, Representative, I do understand what you're asking, and I can appreciate the goal. When we look at this bill that has been attempted to the best it can while still keeping the language appropriate, where we talk about this particular molecule and substitutions of these positions on it are an attempt to go after those types of derivatives. I think to the best of our ability, this bill does that. Obviously, it does become difficult to write for what you don't know.
Any other questions for Mr. Dim? Representative Dugan? Well, he's on here, but we'll come to. Why don't we invite him back at the end for the fiscal note? All right. Lieutenant Rodney Dial and Ketchikan.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. For the record, this is Lieutenant Rodney Dial with the State Troopers. As Mr. Dim indicated, the department supports Senate Bill 140. I would like to say that we are experiencing more of these cases around the state, specifically in the Mattoo Valley, unfortunately, Mr. Chairman. We've noticed that the folks that are on this drug tend to be very unpredictable. We've had there's one instance up in the Mattoo Valley where we had an individual who's in a hotel room and was extremely paranoid when the law enforcement went up to contact him. Made comments to the effect that he had a firearm, and the situation got fairly tense. The hospitals in the region have also reported a number of people have been brought in suffering from the ill effects of these type of drugs. So it is a public health hazard as well as a law enforcement concern. And with that, I'd just be available for any questions.
Mr. Dial, I'm the House sponsor of the version of this bill, so I had presented it in some other committees prior, and I actually went through an apology and then withdrew that we were probably going to be doing one of these bills every year or two or even more frequently, because when there's a profit to be made by those who don't care what they sell or give to kids, and with that profit motive, there's an element out there that has a total disregard, and they will find a new way. And has that been your experience, a new way to market some kind of dangerous mind-altering drug for a profit.
Mr. Chairman, I completely agree with that. I think that if you look to the websites where you can buy this product off the websites, on the one hand, they'll indicate that it's not for human consumption, but on the other hand, they'll have comment sections where users can report their experience with this type of drug. And I realize there's not been a lot of medical research on this, but it certainly seems to us that there could be some long-lasting effects to the users of this drug, you know, down the road, years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. And it just seems very dangerous. And it's very dangerous for the officers in the field. We really don't, you know, we're just starting to experience the people that have used this drug. We also had another case where an individual had used bath salts and was running around the neighborhood screaming that he had murdered somebody, scaring the neighbors. So it's just extremely unpredictable, extremely dangerous to the user, and just not a good thing for our community.
Yeah. Those of us that have supported this, that we've been ridiculed a little bit by some of the real extreme voices I wouldn't dignify it with media, I guess, columnists and talk show hosts about we're wasting our time on bath salts. And I just I appreciated your comments on that, because both I'll take whatever flack there is if we're going to keep this poison out of kids, because there's that's the lowest common denominator that we're dealing with. And if somebody wants to make fun that we're dealing with bath salts, Bill, well, so be it. I'll bring it on.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I wasn't looking for an agreement, but thanks for being part of the Blue Brotherhood there. Let me be there for a moment. So, any other? Well, that wasn't a question for Mr. Dial. That was more exclamatory.
I do have one question, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you,
Lieutenant Dial. Could you just? I think I know what the answer is, but given the words bath salts, it sounds innocent, right? But there's nothing in here that we're regulating that is anything other than this hard drug that we're trying to regulate, right? We're not regulating things that people use that aren't bad for you, right?
Through the chair, Representative Garrett, that's absolutely correct. And it's an interesting comparison to bath salts, because if this were truly to be used for people's baths, it would be one of the most expensive bath salts you could ever.
If you have to buy a bath salt from a dealer, that should be your first clue.
That's what the sketch show does.
Yes.
All right, thank you.
All right, any other? Representative Guttenberg.
Mr. Chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dial, is the primary place of purchase of this over the Internet?
Through the chair, Representative Guttenberg. We believe that it is for communities that don't have a local distributor. We've noticed that there's a few places. I believe there's actually one there in Juneau, just down the street from the Capitol, that is selling this. And then there's some places out in the Mattoo Valley. I believe there's some places in the Soldotna area that sell this. But for those communities that don't have easy access, it does appear that the Internet is where they get it. Most packages are about 200-milligram packages. They go as large as 500 milligrams. They sell from somewhere between $25 and $45 on average.
Thank you.
I think Representative Duke and I are just surprised that our districts are bath salt free.
So. I would be very surprised if that happened. Very surprised.
All right. Lieutenant Dial, thank you very much. I believe it's, if I remember, it's listed as Michael Cooper. I believe it was Dr. Cooper, though. Are you online?
Hi. For the record, this is Mike Cooper, a deputy state epidemiologist. It is Dr. you're asking, but I don't have a prepared testimony. I'm available for questions. We're pretty familiar with bath salts from, you know, the research that we've done, and I've had a chance to practice in Alaska, and I don't think I saw a patient that has gone through an ER high on bath salts, but I've got some colleagues that work here in town as ER doctors that have told me about their experiences with it as well. And they're definitely here, bath salts. the big problem with them is that you never know what you're getting, and the user doesn't really know what they're getting either. They may be getting, you know, one of the synthetic cathinones or another or a combination. They're just not regulated. And so they have these internet forums that try to describe the effects you might get from a certain package, but you never know what another package is going to contain and what effects you're going to have. And the effects, like has been discussed here, can be pretty severe. And like I said, I'm available for questions, and I'm happy to stay on the line here or anything.
So Dr. Cooper, as a duly appointed health official for the state of Alaska within the Department of Health and Social Services, would it be your opinion that this is good policy to regulate and criminalize this substance?
Through the chair, I'm not sure of our official stance. I apologize about that. What I will testify to, though, is the serious nature. And it's hard to sort of say, you know, this is worse than this drug or that one. But I know that spice was regulated here last year. And in my opinion, and based on the research that I've done and the discussions I've had with, you know, other colleagues in the medical field, this is a more dangerous player. And the problem alluded to earlier also is that, you know, the packaging is very flashy with cute names, and it's very, very easy to acquire this drug, either locally, usually at, you know, gas stations or head shops or truck stops, or online. It's just very easy. And so you might get a casual user looking for, you know, a cheap buzz that they can get, and they may be confronted with just some severe neurological sequelae that, you know, lands them, you know, whether doing something crazy or, you know, committing crimes or doing something either injurious to themselves or to others. So definitely a bad player, I think worse than a lot of the other recreational drugs that we're seeing, like spice or marijuana, things like that. And like I said, the big problem is this unpredictability. You really don't know what you're going to get. And we don't know if, you know, for one drug, if snorting it is worse than injecting it or inserting it rectally. And the doses aren't well established either. So one person might be using 50 milligrams once, and another might use 50 once and repeat it, you know, because they're usually short-acting five times and then get on a sustained high. And just real unpredictable and real dangerous, in my opinion.
Representative Newman and then Fairclough.
Mr. Chair, I had more of a question for Lieutenant Dial if he's available after this certain date.
Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Doctor, could you tell me, the bill is setting the level of the controlled substance at 500 milligrams, and we had previous testimony that it is sold in 250 milligram quantities, and so I'm wondering if we believe that any of the substance is bad, and we know it's being sold in packages of 250. Is that the right number, or we just want to?
I want to ask the sponsor if that's what they started with. Before we get to that,
thank you. From a health perspective, I'd like to know is any amount of it damaging to a person if it's inhaled, or all the other ways that have been described.
Is 500 milligrams what you recommended, Ms. Marsegan?
Representative
Fairclough. I mean.
Representative Fairclough through the chair. We had a discussion about this in the other body's judiciary committee. And the intent of the bill was really to kind of go after those that were really marketing and selling. So for the casual user or somebody who had possession, we didn't want to create a whole new group of felonies just based on possession. In previous testimony in another committee, it was stated that between 200 and 500 milligrams was about a dose, which is basically about two packets of sugar. That's about like a hit from what we understood from previous testimony. And so it was thought that, okay, well, then we'll make the sort of the threshold at that sort of like casual, somebody who would have just maybe had it on them as having been in possession of it, maybe somebody who was young or experimenting. We didn't want to all of a sudden make them a felon, so we changed that to a misdemeanor, but we kept the classification of the drug itself at level 2.
Ms. Marsegan, when after consulting and working with law enforcement and others, when you introduced the bill, what was your level that you...
It was set at 500.
At 500, okay. There wasn't a clarity. Okay. Representative Guerra.
I missed that. Could you just have... So, obviously, the penalty should be higher for the person who sells it, and I know you have that.
for the person who, let's say the teenager, let's say there's a teenager who's experimenting, right, and they have two doses, is that still a misdemeanor?
Anything less than up to 500 milligrams.
Yeah, I think Senator French has ratcheted it down as low as he can. So
how many doses is that, again?
Depending on how it's packaged, I would imagine. In previous testimony, it was said that between 200 and 500 was a dose.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If we're seeing, well, are we seeing a lot of online purchasing? I guess that's what I heard you previously say. So if we're seeing it coming in through the Postal Service, is there a reason why we're not making the shipment of it illegal into the state of Alaska?
Representative Faircloth, I would defer that question to public safety as in terms of how that actually works in the regulation of how that is trafficked.
Why don't we go to Mr. Dial and Lieutenant Dial, then we can have Representative Newman's question subsequently. Lieutenant Dial, are you still with us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. And our research indicates that the online retailers of this are very aware of which state it's illegal in. If you go to those sellers, you will see that they actually have on their websites which states it's legal to sell their product in. In fact, I'm on right now as we speak, and it's showing that, it's showing a number of states where it's not legal. It's also showing that it's not legal in the UK, for example. And dosages here on this website, it's showing that you buy packages between 200 milligrams and 500 milligrams.
You have any follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Lieutenant Dial, has anyone ever tried to actually make it illegal to mail it? I'm thinking way back in history where mail fraud actually stopped and put a criminal in jail versus the actual substance. So if we know these substances are being purchased online and that we can declare them illegal in the state, well, we may be able to find something right in the post office as they're coming through. And I'm just wondering why or should we consider making it illegal to bring it into the state. And on the number, people will just start making it divisible to smaller amounts if we crank the number down probably below 500. If the packets are in 200, then if that's the threshold, then the dealers will just drop the quantities down. So I understand where we're trying to get to, but just wondering why we don't just ban. Is there some good purpose for this that we don't know about of why people are might bring it into the state for a legal purpose?
Through the chair, Representative Faircloth, I do not believe that there is any legal purpose to bring this into. The Federal Analog Act is a law that does ban certain substances from going to certain places, and I believe that substances that are illegal under federal law, it is a crime to actually mail those to certain places within the country. I'm not really sure how some of these retailers get around that law. I believe that they're trying to stay one step ahead of them. On this website, for example, it says federal level, and it has several of the different products listed. It says have been labeled Schedule I drug as of March 1st, 2011. This scheduling will last for at least 1 year with a possible extension of an additional 6 months. And what it appears, and then they have below that, they have all the individual state laws. And this is actually on a site that's selling these bath salts. So it appears that what they're trying to do is that for the substances that were made illegal under federal law in the past, they've altered those slightly so that at least as of now, the ones that they're selling comply with federal law. And then depending on what state you live in, they'll either send it to you or they won't. So it really appears that once a state or local community passes a law prohibiting this, these sites, for whatever reason, probably just to cover their own butts, are not shipping that out to those communities.
Mr. Chairman, I just leave on the record that different communities across Alaska have banned the ability to sell alcohol in their communities. And while we can't do anything with the federal post office as far as writing laws for the federal government, the state of Alaska, we could make it illegal for that product to be brought into our state as far as once it is received by somebody. But I'm not going to stop the bill to try to figure that component out. It just seems like everyone's trying to get around the law, and it's disappointing that we know it's harming children and people in general, and that it continues to happen.
Mr. Dugan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to agree with the previous speaker. If this is harmful, then you're just guessing, you know, how much of it is going to be harmful to each individual person. And at least as the testimony seemed to indicate, there was no good reason to have it. It's not like, you know, they're going to use it for any other purpose. So as of you, since you've indicated that we're going to move it, I have no problem with that. But I have to tell you that I would be perfectly in favor of any change in this particular bill that just flat outlined it. Thank you.
Okay, we have the co-chair and I are going to have to leave before 3 o'clock, and so we'll decide whether or not to hold this bill over by the volume of interest. Questions? Representative Guerra.
Thank you. Here's what I'm trying to get at. Maybe it's Ms. Carpinetti that can help. I share the same concerns on dealing and on mailing and the people who sell it. I'm not clear. If somebody, you've got a kid who probably, if somebody buys a dose, they're probably going to buy 2 doses. I don't know. And I just, does that become a felony if they buy 2 doses? And how much is this, what are the size of the packets that people sell in these stores now? So some kid walks in and buys it.
Representative Guerra, through the chair. For the record, I do not have any samples with me. However, I would like to point out that I have seen samples, and they're brightly colored foil packets sometimes, and they're made to look attractive. And the contents are anywhere between, you know, some 50 or 100 milligrams, 200 milligrams, and 500 milligrams. 500 milligrams, I think, is constituted as quite a bit from what my discussion has been with other people who have dealt with this drug. And you're right, the intent of the sponsor was, you have a young person who's very influenced by their friends. Maybe they go to a party or something, and somebody gives them a packet, and they are in possession of one of these packets of 200 milligrams of this particular substance. We didn't want to create felons out of all of these young people. The idea was that we wanted to keep that penalty really for the people that were selling. And so having more than a packet or 2 packets, anything over 500 milligrams, the idea is that, well, that person probably would have the intent to distribute simply because it's, to share with somebody else. And that's when my understanding is when the felony penalties would kick in.
I'd say this is very similar to the cannabinoid situation last year. The House had a more conservative position, the other side. This has already come over compromise. I'm not going in any further, quite frankly. The Senate's already had their bite at it. The Senate Judiciary Chairman Committee has had their bite at it. It's about as liberalized as I'm going to let it be. That's my singular position. I just happen to have the gavel. You can offer amendments, but it says, okay, we don't, Representative Newman, Representative Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My only comment is that when we set a bar, and I said this on previous discussions, that is above zero on a substance that can kill people, a lot of people can have a really good time, but if kids can get a hold of, or even adults, they have some kind of expectation that they're not going to be hurt by a product when the state sets the level where it's okay. So it's okay for some to be in your possession, but it's not okay for others. And so I don't want to kill a sponsor kill a bill in front of me, but I'm uncomfortable knowing if there is an amount. It's kind of like the asbestos discussion. Everything that we have that comes across this committee that could hurt people, there are levels of risks. And for asbestos, we have a whole community that knows that there's been naturally occurring asbestos there for many years. And I apologize, Representative Jewell, for dragging that dirt up, unintended. But for this, I think just children are at risk. So that's it, Mr. Chairman.
We're going to leave this in place adjourned. Let's think of your creative amendments to tighten this thing up. I think there's I'm going the opposite of direction to some of that's been suggested, quite frankly, and I still have some bad feelings over that cannabinoid bill last year lingering. So we will we do have a conference committee, so we'll go ahead and close the public testimony and come back with any amendments that folks may have. Whichever direction, we'll bring this up. Please extend my apologies that I am not willing to go in a direction that's backwards on this. We have session now that's been rescheduled for 9 o'clock. So let's adjourn to the call of the chair. Tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So I don't know where we haven't readjusted our time for tomorrow, and I don't want to.